Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. The Lord bless you, Brother Gary, and all the music as well. God's good, isn't it? Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts again, and we're going to chapter 3. The book of Acts. And chapter 3. Quite a long portion I want to read tonight, so maybe just remain seated and to read Acts. I want to talk about the healing of the lame man, and I might turn to all the scripture, but keep marked in Acts chapter 3. Praise God. Verse 1 then to verse 11 of Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had led daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something off them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let's bow our heads tonight and close our eyes. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. Praise God. The Lord bless. The Lord bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the songs we've been singing. We thank you for salvation. We thank you have saved us, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace toward each and every one of us, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory. At the very start of this service tonight, Lord, we want to thank you and say we love you. Because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. Lord Jesus, sanctify us, cleanse us, wash us. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, even though we be few in number tonight, Father, I pray for the moving and the quickening and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in this room. That every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit, and I do take the Holy Ghost. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray for every hand that's raised. Lord, that you will meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Acclaim every individual and families that's not saved. We claim our own sons and daughters. Every other son and daughter represented with these meetings, husbands, wives, relations, relatives. We claim them under that token. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and we ask for their salvation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray for those in authority tonight for wisdom. Give Donald Trump wisdom at this time. Bless Israel, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And bless your people tonight. All across this nation and us here, Lord, help us and bless us. Speak to us from your word. Give us something from the word tonight. And Lord, add to your work such as should be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one tonight. This is a very familiar reading in Acts chapter 3 of the lame man. And this is the first recorded miracle in the book of Acts that we're seeing happening in Acts chapter 3. And Peter and John at the hour of prayer going up to the temple, verse 1. And the temple had been cleansed. Remember, the temple had been cleansed by the Lord Jesus. And the people of the temple those that were in it had seen the ministry of Jesus Christ, but sadly they didn't receive it. Many of them rejected it, and he cleansed the temple. The priests had rejected him, and this cleansing of the temple. And God had rent the veil of the temple in two at the crucifixion of Jesus. That temple veil was rent in twain from the very top to the very bottom. God showing a new and living way was made. No longer offerings made with an earthly priest year upon year, but the once and for all supreme sacrifice had been made. Now keep an axe, but Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Earthquakes, rocks rending, had the veil rending. So it was no secret thing. Now this testimony of God had been rejected, hence the temple was to be destroyed in a number of years. And we know if you read history and church history, in AD 70, that temple was destroyed. When you contrast that, they rejected Christ, and that temple was destroyed. And you remember Jesus said, tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And they thought he spoke of a natural temple, but he's speaking of his own body. And he was taken right down, but raised again by God on the third day. Now this is a tremendous miracle. In Acts chapter 3 of this lame man, and I'm going to say some things about this tonight, but I want to run a parallel, and I want to run a contrast in the healing of a similar miracle. And when you contrast the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda by Jesus himself, and it's John 5, I'm going to read it, I'm going to take the time to read it, and I'm not going to be long tonight, just some thoughts. This is John 5, verse 1 to 11. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches, and in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. That is a long time that he's been there waiting for 38 years, and he's never been healed. And I believe God spoke to me one time from this scripture specifically, because we all talk about it, preachers say it, and it is true, but not always. That it's only at certain seasons God will move. And just in the natural, you have the 4 seasons. You have the summer, the spring, and you know all the different seasons. And you can expect rain at a certain season, sun at a certain season, and so forth. But with God, God can do it out of season. And you know there's a scripture for it, because the Bible says we are to preach in season and out of season. So we're to expect God to move when it's not in so-called season or in season. Just like Jesus, when he come to the fig tree, it wasn't the season for it, but Jesus expected it anyhow. And it didn't have it, and he cursed that fig tree. But 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been there now a long time. In that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I am no man, when the waters troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath day, is it not lawful for thee to carry thy bed? He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And I'll tell you, that's just like it's like the day. If God did move,
A lot of people would say it shouldn't have happened like that. According to our denomination, God won't do it like that. And no doubt in the 20th century, God has moved. No question about it. It wasn't done in no corner. God done it. And not only did God do it, you take every single ministry and read every one of them. And we saw the greatest thing happen that ever could happen. And God done it. And what do they say about it? They don't want to know one thing about it. And then we have you, church, to condemn it and say it's not of God. Back here, they maybe didn't have the YouTube, but they didn't want it. And they thought he shouldn't carry in his bed on the Sabbath. And they were quoting the law of Moses. But didn't Jesus say, if you knew who Moses was, you would have known of me, because he testified of me. They quoted the message, but they failed to recognize the messenger, what would supersede it. Hallelujah. And the healing of this lame man at the gate called Beautiful, and that's healing of this man. The healing of the lame man was an act of the Holy Spirit. I want you to get this evening. This man at the pool of Bethesda was healed by the Lord Jesus, but the physical Lord Jesus was not there. In Acts chapter 3, it was the Holy Spirit. Now we know he said, he's coming in my name, the Holy Ghost. And they healed this man through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had come. And when you read the book of Acts, this is what you read. All that Jesus began must be continued. All that he began. And Jesus says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. And the disciples was continuing because of the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus did himself, but they were doing it through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And through the apostle, the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, it was a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? That's what you saw in them disciples. You saw the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the healing and the miracles, and faith was in them. They had it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 to 9. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. That's not one, that is gifts, many. By the same Spirit, and also read on 3 Corinthians on the gift of working of miracles. And these disciples had this, they had it. Jesus Christ himself did it. He was God manifested in flesh. He spoke the word to that man. He was healed. And here Jesus has went back to heaven. The promise of the Father's came. And these disciples have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit through these apostles is continuing the work that Jesus began. What was that work? What do you read about Jesus? You read this. Jesus went about doing good, yes, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Here's what you read. They brought many that were sick and diseased to him, and he healed every single one of them. And there wasn't a feeble one amongst them. That's what Jesus did. Here these disciples are continuing. They were continuing the work through the Holy Spirit. So if the genuine Holy Spirit comes on people today, how can they not perform the same things? And why will the same things not happen what they had? And we know the spirit of Elijah that came is to turn us back to the original apostolic message so that we will believe like they believed and act like they acted. And I believe that tonight. Do you believe it tonight? Look, when you compare verse 4 and verse 12 of the book of Acts, chapter 3. Look at verse 4 and look at verse 12. And here would you read in verse 4. Look on us. Peter and John says, look on us. Amen. That's what you read. But then in verse 12 he says again, why look on us? As though we did this. Why look on us? So in verse 4 he's saying to the one man, look on us. And in verse 12 he's saying to these other men, because they're different people. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look at us. Verse 12, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly in us, as though by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk? And you know, he preached then the cross. He preached Jesus dying and he preached the gospel. Peter used this opportunity to preach the gospel. Peter didn't take this opportunity of the healing of this man to see how many million pounds he could raise. That's not what Peter did it for. Peter's just told him, silver and gold have we nothing. That's not like the church today. What claims to be the church, is it? To the questioning people, Peter says, why look ye in us, as though by our own power and holiness this man stands here whole? The lame man did not expect to receive healing, perhaps. Nor did he seem to have immediate faith for such. John 5, verse 5 says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And he had been there many years, yet Jesus had not healed him until this time. You know, you ever hear William Branham preaching about this? He says it could be questionable today. Why was it that this man wasn't healed? He must have heard about the ministry of Jesus. This wasn't the first time he'd heard about Jesus. The ministry of Jesus was famous. It was through the land. It was everywhere. But he never chose to heal this man till this time. You don't read of this man having super faith or anything like that. But at this particular time, the Lord chose to do it. I'll tell you what. You see, Jesus only did what the Father showed him, didn't he? And he could have, this man could have been bypassed many times. He couldn't get into the water when there was trouble. But on this particular day, the Lord Jesus chose to heal him, and he healed him. Now, that's one thing. For he heals this man on this particular day, and immediately he's healed. So well healed. Now you think of it, you know, medically, even you put somebody in a bed that's in a bed for a long time. Let's say they're in a bed for 3 months. They'll not jump out of that bed and run about. I don't care what age they are, I'm telling you. You know, when they get out of that bed, they'll be hardly fit to move. They'll be sore. They'll not be hardly fit to move. They'll have to take it easy. But here this man's immediately healed. And he lifts up his bed and he carries it. Because you see, the Lord's, that's a miracle. An absolutely miraculous healing. What the Lord's done for him right there and then. And he didn't need a bit of time till his legs started working right or nothing. He was instantly healed. As though he never was anything wrong with him. And the Lord done it. That's a real miracle. And our God works miracles tonight still. Because he's Hebrews 13 and 8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here, look at this in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Silver and gold will be none, but such as we have, give I thee. So Peter is claiming he had something, and he's given it. And it works. This is in the contrast to the rich Laodicean church today, isn't it? They can't say silver and gold have I none. When you go to Revelations, here's what you read. Thou art rich and increased with goods. That's Laodicea. Laodicea is not like it was back then. Laodicea is rich and increased with goods and of needeth nothing. And many people tonight don't think they need God and they don't want God. Rich and increase with goods. With goods, need nothing. Laodicea is the church which is a form of godliness and denies the power thereof. That's the age we're in, brothers and sisters. We are living in the age for them of a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The Bible doesn't say fellowship with them. It says separate, turn away from them. Come out from amongst them. That's what we're to do in this age we're in. And God sent something to bring us out, didn't he? He sent a true voice, vindicated. That he vindicated. The power of the money versus the power of God. I tell you, the power of the money versus the power of God. I was impressed with Reinhard Bonnke. You know, Reinhard Bonnke needed money. A lot of money, what he was doing. Every minister needs money. You know, even William Branham got in trouble because he had bills he couldn't pay. And people had to pay some bills for him. How many knows that's the truth? He wouldn't lift offerings and stuff. But Bunky needed a lot of money and he was praying. And the Lord said to him, he'd given, I can't remember the amount of money. And Bunky turned around and said, no, give me so many million souls instead. And God gave him the souls. Then he gave him the money anyhow. Amen. And I tell you, that's just like how the Lord works. Yes. You see, we can't do it back to front. We are to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then the rest shall be added. We're not in this to see what we can get out of it if we are. Brothers, that's wrong. We're in it to serve the Lord, to do for the Lord. And we need to put every effort in what we can put in while we're here. The power of the money versus the power of God. Many times a rich church becomes a powerless church. We could have a building tonight and the steeples tonight and everything tonight and gold here and gold there and gold everywhere. But if God's not there, it's dead. What is it? You'd have somebody in a tent or under a tree and they have the power of God with them. We need to be wanting where the Lord is, isn't that right? And he's for two or three's gathered in his name. Now I believe God can bless and give lots, because God, look at Solomon, we know that. But many times, a rich church is a powerless church, such as I have. Look at Matthew 10, verse 1. This is what he did to these disciples. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Luke 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. Did you know the latest thing that I've heard? You can check this, but I've told us today. They're saying now that many of the pilots that's flying the planes, they don't want any pilots that had any COVID injections. Because there's such a high risk of a heart attack with those that's had the COVID injections that apparently they don't want pilots flying the planes no more that's had the COVID injections. But yet when it came out, we were holding everybody back, weren't we? And many Christians run to get it. Run to get it. That's the truth now. Now if some believer got it, God bless you. I'm not condemning you. But if we're believing God, we need the Lord. The Bible tells us we're not to seek after physicians. We're to seek after the Lord. Now, maybe times we need them. We know that. We praise God for nurses and doctors and all them things. But that COVID was fake. And I'm not changing what I'm saying about that. It was absolutely fake. And many people got 5 different injections of it, different doses of it. And one fellow was telling me his mother got every single injection and she took the worst COVID out of the whole house and the ones that never got any injections didn't even take it. And how many women's lost babies. And I worked for a man, and he found his wife almost dead, and he knows it was that injection that done it. He's convinced. And I remember a man one night, and he said to me, "Tom, have you got the injection?" I said, "What injection?" He said, "The COVID injection." I said, "You must be joking." I said, "Sure, that's not proven." And he lit me. Boy, he can be some talent off in front of everybody. "You're holding us all back." Now, this fellow was super fit, him and his wife. They're into running and all sorts of stuff, but I haven't seen them in a long time. Haven't seen either two of them in a long time. I believe God can give people medicines. I believe that. I believe there's medicines in the earth. Penicillin's one of the best things they ever found. It works. It's real. I believe that. But COVID can't be numbered with that. And anybody that tries to put it in the same brackets talking pure rubbish. It came too quick. Somebody somewhere had it already mixed up for a few pounds. And all the places that they got the army in and all the places in and told us how many would die, and there wasn't a word of the half of it. Then they put up fake news. People in body bags. Now I know people might have died. I'm not saying they didn't. But sure, people die all the time. And that's never named. How many's dying with cancer? Count how many's dying with cancer. And I'll tell you, I'm not worrying about no COVID. It's the Lord we need to depend on. The Lord Jesus had given them power over sickness and disease and power to cast out devils. Peter didn't tell this lame man, listen to this. Peter didn't say to this lame man, "Attend a few meetings." Peter didn't say, "Keep on believing." Peter didn't say, "Wait and you'll receive it by faith by and by." Peter never said none of that. Didn't say none of that. Continue in prayer and look to the Lord, brother. Peter never said none of that. Peter had something. And he knew he had something. And he was giving them it. Amen. It was the Holy Ghost he had. Amen. Look on us. And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." We need the Holy Spirit. We need a real baptism. Maybe the Lord's give us some tingles and stuff. I believe that. But I tell you what, we need the real thing. Amen. This real Pentecostal experience that they had. Where people get healed and delivered by the power of God. Where we'll not have to wrestle all night. And, you know. But we'll have something that we can give out. Just like that, someone they could give out. I tell you, it's real, isn't it? I tell you, when William Branham stood before all them false religions of the world, India, Bombay, India, and that man was blind because he worshipped the sun, and he says, "If God doesn't heal you, write false prophet in my bank." He knew what was going to happen because God had already showed him before he got there. He knew. Amen. He knew what would take place. And I tell you, I believe we need to get, we shouldn't ought to come to church to get prayed up. We should come praying up. We should come ready. You know one of the worst things a boxer can do? And I'm telling you, it's right. You ever see them boxers and they come in the ring and there's not one bead of sweat on them? Then you look at that boy and he comes in and he's a bit of a towel over him. He's sweating. Do you know why? Because he's been in the changing room warming up. And he doesn't need two rounds to get going. He's coming at you as soon as the bell goes. And the other boy, he's needing warmed up. He needs a few rounds to get warmed up. And the next thing he gets one in the chin and he's near down. But the boy's warmed up already in the changing rooms. He's ready to go. And the Lord wants a group of people that's ready to go. When the rapture takes place, you won't be saying, Lord, I'll tell you what, I need to get some things ready here. It won't be that, won't be happening. You'll be either ready or not be ready. And the Lord's coming for people that's ready. You believe you're ready tonight. You need to say you're ready. Testify you're ready. And I believe if we're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, we're ready to go. Do you believe it? How many will agree with me tonight that we're living under privilege to what the book of Acts has? I believe that. Maybe nobody else is preaching it, but I believe it anyhow. I believe God wants to give us more than what we've got. And I believe if we're sincere, God can do it. God can still do it. I believe God can still do it. And I don't believe we need any super evangelist or an apostle or anything like that to come and do it. I believe the Holy Ghost will come and do it. That's what we need. That's the guide tonight, the Holy Spirit. Peter and John, they had the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit. Silver and gold have we none. There's so many witches and Sky Television and Facebook and all them places today. Witches. And they're anointed. And people's running after them. And they're doing land signs and wonders. And then they'll tell you at the end of it, God showed me you needed so many million till his work. These disciples didn't say that. Now I know in another place they brought all to their feet, but they use it for the Lord's work. Them fellas weren't building themselves a big mansion, which sure they weren't. It was for God's work. Here the Lord confirmed his word with signs following. Let me read you this, and then we're going to come and pray tonight. I must stirring you up a bit. I hope I am. And I want stirred up. The Lord's real. You know the Lord is real. Jesus Christ is real. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. These people never followed signs. Signs followed them. We don't want them to run and following signs. But science follows the real believers. Amen. Let's come tonight and let's pray and seek the Lord for time in the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll pour your Spirit upon us. Lord, we need a deluge coming on us of the Holy Ghost. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Ghost that these apostles had. What they received on the day of Pentecost. Lord, we don't want to have just some name that we live and we're dead. But we want you to make us alive. We want you to quicken us by your power. By the Holy Spirit coming on us, coming through us. Lord, that we'll not be waiting on some sort of our own physical emotion. But that we'll be fit to say, such as we have, give unto thee. Lord, we thank you for these miracles, these signs, these wonders, what you did. And we believe you can still do it today because you're never changed. You remain the same. Help us to be the people of God you want us to be. Move amongst us in salvation and healing and deliverance. Touch men and women tonight. Touch boys and girls tonight. Oh, Lord, have thy way, I pray, amongst us. Move in me. Move in every brother and every sister in this place. Revive us. Restore us and renew us, oh God. And cause us to rejoice with the joy of the Lord. of the salvation of souls, we pray. Lord, we're asking you tonight to stretch your arm forth. And men and women in this very room, those that need your touch, touch people in this room. Minister people in this room. Those listening in, touch them, minister to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every devil, every demon, every demonic power we rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will have free course amongst us. Breathe on us, O breath of God. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen.